Blog Talk Radio.
It's a poignant, transcendent journey. Riveting and raucous, it's a wild, exhilarating ride. Everybody fasten your seatbelts.
I am dominating at my fingertips.
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
The following presentation is controversial and may be offensive to some audiences. Discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of HIAC Talk Radio. I am your host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. You can also find the official Twitter of this fine program at HIAC Talk Radio. Also, check out the website, HIACTalkRadio.com. And there's just more and more surprises there each week. Now, with me as always, he is a fine specimen of comedic taste. It is the above average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico.
Thank you, sir. Follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83 and Obey the Puck Monday nights at 9. Follow us on Twitter at Obey Puck Show.
When this program started 2 years ago, of course, we started with Fusion DS. And they were in the middle of this feud with the Midnight Sensations. The Midnight Sensations, of course, a storied past with ECWA. They were the unified tag team champions there. And I was a Fusion I was a true believer.
I as well. Sorry, Sam.
And I can recall one of the angriest times in my life was when Sam and Chris Rockwell were under masks and they came back to ECWA.
Oh, was so mad.
Oh, I was.
Fuming.
I was too. I remember going to Joe and you dirty rotten scoundrel.
You dirty rotten scoundrel. You no good. Ooh.
But here's the thing, Dan. Here's the thing.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Looking back, it actually was. But yeah. Here's the thing. Sam Shields has really come into his own as a singles performer since then. I want to know, and I want to find out here tonight, the transition from tag team specialist, because he was in that tag team for quite some time, the transition from tag team specialist to a successful singles performer, and one of the more dominant figures in On Point Wrestling.
Absolutely.
And, of course, he will be taking on Joey Janela at On Point Wrestling coming up this Saturday. And this is a first-round title tournament match. It was just announced earlier this week from Matthew Ryan Shapiro. Of course, he is the liaison to the board of directors for On Point Wrestling. But without further ado, I want to find out about this guy's career, where he started, where he's going, and he'll be our guest right after this.
Ah!
All right, our guest at this time is the Machine, Sam Shields. Sam, how are you doing this fine evening?
I'm doing great. How's it going, fellas?
We are doing great as well. You're, of course, with Dan as well, and this is the icebreaker. This is where I like to start out. Now, what was the match that got you started on this path of wrestling? There had to be one match. There had to be one, maybe, wrestler that you said, that's the guy. What was it?
I think it has to be Ultimate Warrior originally, which is funny to say. But I remember being a kid, and I had heard about wrestling from friends, and I didn't watch it. And I remember turning on wrestling one Saturday morning and I watched Ultimate Warrior Wrestling Smash. And that kind of got me. The face paint and I guess the muscles, the dominance, I just like them. So
there it is. It's the Ultimate Warrior taking on Smash. Of course, Smash went on to become the Repo Man for those keeping score at home. Now, Sam, when did you decide to actually train as a wrestler, and where was that?
Like a lot of wrestlers, I actually started out, I did a little backyard wrestling, which isn't the smartest thing. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone else. And I ended up bumping into a friend of mine, so I played baseball at the time, senior league. I was 18 years old. And I bumped into a friend of mine that I played baseball with when I was much younger, my friend Johnny, who actually turned out to be deranged. I don't know if you guys have heard of deranged on the indie scene. He was around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And he brought me to Arena Puerto Rico in Brooklyn. A lot of people refer to that school as Pedro's.
Okay.
And I ended up training there with Mike Hazardous for about a year. That was in 2010. And in 2011, that school closed, and I ended up going to the Doghouse and training with Lathan.
Okay. So how long did it take you? During this indoctrination, when you started training, how long did it take you to actually have that first match?
I actually had a first match a year in, and I don't know if I said 2011. 2001, I went to the Doghouse. I may have said 2011, mixed up my years. But, I had my first match about a year in, and I wrestled a guy named Mark Knight. Not quite sure what he's doing right now, but it wasn't the best match. You wouldn't want to watch it.
Okay. See, we get different answers all the time when it comes to that first match.
Yeah.
Some people say it was good. Like, Bandito loves his first match, Bandito Jr. He's one guy that likes his first match. But it really depends. So you didn't like the first match?
Oh, no. I don't feel like I was ready. And I just wasn't a big fan of my look, the moves, my body. I definitely just wasn't ready. Needed more time.
Okay. So you knew that, but you still, I guess when a promoter comes to you and says, we're going to put you in this match, you don't want to turn it down. So it was kind of like that.
Well, I think when you're starting out, you think you're better than you are. And you don't realize that you're not that good till a lot later on when you actually are pretty decent. You don't. Not till then, when you look back, you say, oh, man, what was I doing? What was I thinking?
So what was the gimmick when you first started? What did you come up with? You said you didn't like it.
The gimmick wasn't bad. It was pretty generic. It was just generic yell to fans. I actually came up with the moniker, I'm Better Than You, before Canyon. Canyon actually came out with it right after I started saying it. And I just had a shirt on. It said, I'm better than you. And I came out with a sign. And it would say, Sam Facenal at the time. Sam Facenal, number one fan. And I would have a fan hold it. I'd take a picture, and then I'd yank it away and yell at him. It got a few laughs, but it was pretty hokey.
I would have sued Canyon.
Yeah. Gimmick infringement right there.
Yeah.
When did you finally feel as if you were coming into your own? Did it take a while?
I think it took a long time. It seemed like every school I trained at was closed, and you get down at times, and if you don't make the right connections, you don't get in certain promotions, and you kind of feel like you're wasting your time. And I really feel like I came into my own when I started teaming with Chris Rockwell. I started to become who I am today, I believe. Probably not before then.
Now, when did that happen? When did you and Chris, of course, the Midnight Sensations, when did that happen?
I think that was about like 5.5 years ago. And okay. we were just thrown together. We really didn't know each other. We had wrestled each other in other tag teams before. I had been in the team called Team Yeah with this guy, Reza, who used to be in the Elm Street Kids. And so I teamed with Reza, and we wrestled this team called Garden Fake Gods, which at that time was Chris Rockwell and Mike Quest. And that was my only experience with Chris. And then later on, when I had come back to wrestling, we were just thrown in a team together, and it somehow worked.
Okay, so you and Chris were together for 5 years?
I would say, because we haven't really teamed in the last about year and a half, 2 years, so we were probably together for about three.
Now, what was the biggest highlight of the Midnight Sensations?
I don't know. I know at one point I think we had about four or five different tag titles. I know we had the TWA, ECWA, NWA Dog, and I know we had one or two others that we won. There was a point where we were just winning. It seemed like we were winning titles every weekend, and
yeah.
It was great. It was a lot of fun.
Now, who came up with the Midnight Sensations to actually come up with that gimmick that you were from another planet? Who was that? Was that all you, or?
It was a combination of Chris and myself. We were originally told that we were supposed to be sharp-dressed men, and we started out with that, but it was it didn't really fit. And I was always a little out there, so I would start talking about like space and about being the best in the universe. And then Chris fed off that, and then from there, we just became what we were, which is pretty close to what we really are in real life anyway. So not far off. Pretty strange guys.
Going back a little bit to the early days when you were just starting, how long in your career did you start getting booked a little more often? How long did it take really for the career to pick up where you were working every weekend?
I really that goes back to when I teamed with Chris as well. Like before that, I just felt like I was just a cork bobbing in water. I wasn't really doing anything. And then once I teamed with Chris, I guess everything clicked. I think I finally got it. So he's saying that's when everything started to work out. We started getting booked. And from there, it was just every weekend.
So you said earlier that you kind of just got thrown together. Do you go back to singles matches and then, you know, get hooked up at some point? Or did you guys just click and decide we ought to start working together? How did that come to be where you guys stayed together?
I remember that first match they had us work. It was a six-man tag. It was at Ace Pro Wrestling, and it was Chris and myself teaming with Ozzy Envy against Frightmare and Ed and Tom Scanlon. And the whole gimmick for the match was, the whole idea for the match was we were going to turn on Ozzy Envy at the end, and then Nino Capone was going to make a big return because he had been away from wrestling for a while. And he would make the save, and Chris and I would be teaming up against them. They would form a new team called Rated X. And that first match, we actually had a lot of chemistry, and I remember training with Chris a couple times after that, and our first match against them, and I knew we should definitely work together. I was like, I encouraged Chris to work out more, and he helped me out with my promos a lot. So it was pretty much right off the bat, right when we got in together, we just gelled.
Okay, you answered my second question. So it took you guys no time really to decide we have to keep going together. This is something we have to do.
Yeah, it definitely felt good. It felt right. It wasn't forced at all. So which is strange because we weren't friends. We didn't talk, and they just said, "Oh, you two got." Mike Morgan said, Chris, Sam, you guys are going to team. And we're like, whatever, we didn't have anything else going on, and it worked out.
Now, what were some highlights for the Midnight Sensations at the time? I know ECWA was a kind of a bittersweet thing looking back now, but
yeah.
At the time, it had to be, you guys had one hell of a push there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We loved going there. We loved the fans. Always a fun show. And we had a lot of fun back even when we were at Ace, before we left Ace. That was a lot of fun. We won the tag belts close to the end there. We had some great ladder matches at Ace. We had a great ladder match with Rated X, and then we had a great TLC with them a couple months after. So that was definitely memorable.
Now, speaking of Ace, is that the same place that Stan Styles wrestled at, like North Jersey
yes.
area?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
It's one of those places I didn't hear about until I got to know Stan. So
yeah.
Just talk about Ace for people that aren't too familiar with the promotion, what that was like, because Stan talks about it like it was really a fun place to be.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going on there now. I haven't worked there in a really long time, but it was a lot of fun back then. It was a lot of guys that trained together. We all worked really hard, and we cared about putting on the best show. And at the time when we were there, I feel like their shows were as good as any other indie show. I can't speak to them now because I haven't been there in a couple years, 2-3 years, but. Back okay. then, I remember a lot of fun. Jay Lethal was on their shows. Azrael.
Yeah, Azrael. Now, that's a guy who's been around for a long time. How long have you been in at this point? You said 2001 you started, right?
2010 is when I first started training. I met Azrael in 2001 at Doghouse.
Okay.
And
okay,
I got to train with him a lot at Ace as well.
Okay. Okay. So, just moving along, after... It really seemed to coincide with after the ECWA fallout or whatever you want to call it. I really don't want to get into that because whatever happened
yeah.
there, that's whatever happened there.
Yeah.
But it seemed that you and Chris stopped teaming after that run with ECWA. Were there differences or you guys just kind of decided to go your separate ways?
I think sometimes things like that just happen. You grow apart a little bit. Just like relationships, some relationships just don't last. I'm not saying that we'll never team again. There's possibilities. Right now I'm having a lot of fun doing singles. I still hang out with Chris from time to time, and I see him, and if we get booked on the same show together, it's a team, it wouldn't be a problem either. It just seemed to work out like this. I started getting singles bookings and went from there. Because I worked singles in Brooklyn at Ludus FSW. So from there, I started getting a lot more singles matches from other promotions.
So I think I probably already know the answer to this question, but I wrote it, so I'm going to ask it. When you're tagging, do you ever feel like that you need to spring off back into singles, that you might get a little rusty by yourself, or is it ever a thought that crosses your mind?
I don't feel like I ever get rusty. I always train. Really, really hard. I train every week. That's actually how I came up with my name, The Machine, because the way I work out in the gym and the way I train, it's like a machine. I'm not one of the youngest guys there, but a lot of the younger guys in their early 20s can't even keep up with me. I'm just nonstop.
Wow.
So
the second part of that, you kind of are already going into. So basically, the training back in from, tagging to singles, you already had that down. You were already a machine, quote unquote.
Yeah, I'm always nonstop.
Do you have to go into it differently mentally?
There's a different way to go about it. Yes, just so things make sense. Because you just don't work the same in a tag as you do in a singles. Because you're working with a tag, you're working with a partner. You have someone that you're supposed to depend on. So you have to utilize them. And in singles, you have no one to depend on. You just have to stand alone. It's a different mindset. Yeah.
So getting more into the psychology, what do you think is easier to do? Is it single psychology or tag team psychology?
Well, sometimes, you know, in tag, it's a little easier to be entertaining, I think, at times, because you have the four men. So even if the action in the ring gets a little stale, the guys in the apron can sometimes help get the fans back into it. But at the same time, it's also really complicated because you have to, things have to make sense, and you have to worry about who's legal, just like the right time to do everything in a tag match, right time to tag. And in singles matches, it's don't know, they both have their pros and cons. In singles matches, you have to be able to keep your wind up, and you have to be able to keep the fans on the edge of their seat without any help from anyone else.
Okay. So. Now, moving into the singles career, did you find the transition, you kind of answered this already, but did you find the transition difficult to make, or you were ready to go?
I think I was ready. The one issue was a lot of promoters didn't know me as a singles guy. They knew the team, the Midnight Sensations, but they didn't know who Sam Shields was. So I would talk to promoters, and they didn't know who I was. And some just wouldn't respond. Or some would say, oh, can you bring your partner Chris? Or can you do this? So it was hard to kind of break it in, but now I'm pretty busy.
Yeah, that's really good. Now, one of the first places that I know of that started booking you as a singles guy is, of course, On Point Wrestling. Now, let's talk about On Point Wrestling. You've been with them since their first public show. They had a private show. There's the original eight that they talk about all the time. But from the start of the public shows, you have been there, and you have really been a key component. Does a place like On Point Wrestling that has put a lot of faith in you, does that really help kind of springboard your career?
I think so. I love going there, and I think it's a lot easier to perform when you enjoy the promotion you're working for and you like the promotion you're working for. The locker room is great. It's like a big family, and you don't feel like there's any egos in the back, which is always great. And the fans, the crowds they draw are great. They're into every match. They're behind the faces. They hate the heels. It's really, really good to have.
Now, for you, and just as somebody who has seen all the On Point shows, for you, you really came into your own when you took on Gran Akuma. Take us back to that match. What did that match mean to your career?
Well, it definitely was a big step, especially in an On Point. And I feel like On Point is going to be one of the top promotions coming up. But it definitely, from there on, I haven't lost since that match.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been building. Now I'm in this tournament,
jeez,
and I feel confident I'm going to win it.
Definitely. Now, that's big news. You have gone through, since the Gran Akuma match, you've been in a lot of multi-performer matches. You were in,
yes,
a six-way where you were victorious. You were in a three-way where you were victorious. I don't want to talk about the last show quite yet, but that six-way and then the three-way, those two matches that you had, was that just more or less gaining more momentum to get to the point where you are now?
I believe so. Proving that I could get through, I believe it was a three-way and a four-way. Proving I can get through two other men, and then proving I can get through three other men just for the victory. It's just proves that I belong on top, and I belong in this tournament.
Now, that last match,
yes,
had a lot of buzz after it. Did you guys know, and I'm talking like match of the year already, kind of talk to it, did you guys know how well it was going in the middle of that ring?
I knew it was going well. I don't know. It definitely had you could feel the energy in the ring, and especially Danny Cannon is just so, I don't even know how to describe him, but full of energy. Ball of energy, and then Dickinson's always a great performer, and Reed Bentley was great to work with. you could tell it was something special, and it's just great to hear that people are talking about it being match of the year possibly already, and so early on.
I'll tell you what, Sam, I was at that show the whole time, and, I mean, it got loud a couple times in that building, but, I mean, because it's a big, open, echoey gym, and that was the loudest I heard it all night during that match, over and over again. How do four guys get – how do you come up with a match like that? Is there any step-by-step talking? Do you call it in the ring? How do you pull off something like that?
It's a pretty complicated process because when you have four guys with their own ideas of what they want to do, you have to be able to work something out where everyone is happy. No one, because if one guy's upset, then it's going to show in the performance. So you have to make sure you have to please all four men, and it all has to gel together in the ring, which I'm sure you've seen doesn't always work out that way.
Mm-mm. No, you're correct.
Yeah.
So you guys walk in, and this is not a shot. I'm framing the question because it's not towards you. You'll get it in a second. You walk into the building, the ring is half the size. What adjustments do you guys have to make, if any, to go through a match with the spots that you did?
The ring was definitely concerning. We had a certain dive we didn't want to do because of the height of the ring. The ring was really low, and I was a little concerned about the suplex spot to the outside, if you remember that. I wasn't really worried about it being dangerous. I was hoping it would still get the same top, and it did, which I was happy for, because it wasn't as big of a fall.
So everybody basically got out of that match unscathed other than normal?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody was happy after. No one else.
And I have to tell you personally, that was amazing. That was awesome to watch live.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. I keep hearing that. It's great.
Now, let's fast forward here to this Saturday. You, yes. Joey Janela, it's the first round title tournament, the first ever On Point Wrestling champion will be crowned at the end of this. Already advancing, Oz Tyler, Drew Blood. You and Joey Janela, whoever wins, moves on. How important is this match for your career?
It's definitely the most important match I've had in On Point as of yet. And I think it may be one of the most important, if not the most important, match that I've had as a singles wrestler, because this is my chance to move up in the tournament and possibly become the first On Point champion. So I feel like I need to win this Saturday.
Oh, definitely. Now,
I might lose all the hope from all the fans. The fans aren't going to care anymore. They're not going to want to cheer for someone if they can't fight for victory.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Joey Janela, how much do you know about this guy? He's a guy that is still young, but he has so many years in wrestling already on his body. Now, I believe he's like a 10-year, 8-year vet, something like that. How much do you know about Joey Janela going into this?
I'll be honest. I don't know a lot about him. I have never been in the ring with him. I've seen him in the locker room at shows, but we've never trained together. We've never done anything other than say hello to each other. That's it.
Are you telling me this is the first time you guys are touching?
First time we will touch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is the first time ever, and it's for the right to advance. I'm telling you, this match, and this card is packed. We have the Dirty Daddy Challenge. We have the best round taking on EYFBO. There's a lot going on, but I really think that the match that people may be leaving with is this Joey Janela Sam Shields match.
I'm going to do all I can to make sure that's what they leave with.
Just wrap it all up for me, what this match, what this night means to you.
this night, this is where I make my mark in On Point, and I prove that I belong in that top spot. I'm going to move. I plan on moving on in this tournament, and I want to be the first. I will be the first On Point wrestling champion.
All right, Sam. Now, where can people find you, follow you, if they want to know more about your career?
If they want to follow me, they can follow me on Twitter at Machine Shields, and same on Instagram, Machine Shields. Also on Facebook, I'm just Sam Shields.
All right, Sam, I want to thank you for your time here tonight.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And people out there, if you are listening, if you're in the South Jersey area, if you're in the Delaware area, Philadelphia area, wherever, make sure you come out to On Point Wrestling. And I'm telling you, the match that people may very well be going home talking about is Sam Shields, Joey Janela. Everything's on the line in this one. Sam, again, thank you for tonight.
Thank you. Everyone better come out this Saturday. It's going to be a huge show. You don't want to miss it.
That's right. Sam, again, thank you, and you have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Saturday night at Sports and More in Seoul, New Jersey, On Point Wrestling returns. In the opening round of the On Point Championship Tournament, the Machine Sam Shields takes on the Zebra Prince, Joey Janela.
But I plan on doing the same thing I've done at every other On Point Wrestling show. Fight from beginning to end until my hand is raised.
You're half man, half machine, you say? I'm Joey Janela, and I don't give a who you are and what you are. What I am is the baddest son of a to ever step on the New Jersey independent wrestling scene, and On Point's the future, and so is Joey Janela.
In the main event, the match, 1 year in the making, lowlife Louis Ramos, a hardcore icon, takes on the next generation's hardcore icon, the Bulldozer Matt Tremont, in a Texas death match. It's a battle of hardcore eras. Tremont, Ramos, On Point Wrestling.
This weekend, we will test the physical limitations of the human body more than ever. Because you have to beat a man so senseless that he cannot answer the count of 10. Who will be the masked man standing when Relentless is all said and done? Just leave me and myself, and my life will not disappoint. the friendship, the respect, the mutual adoration for each other, we put on mute and we turn the volume up on the violence. And finally I get the call that I've been waiting for 347 days, the call from the outgoing office, and they ask me, Prima Ramos, ready to happen, are you down? And I said yes, before they even finished asking the question. May 17th, 2014, I urge the people of Sewell, New Jersey, to not miss this match, because it'll be the most vital match you ever witnessed live. Pain, torture, agony, Texas death match, whatever you want to call it, it's going down. And it's finally going to answer the question of the chair I was asked, and that is, Hardcore Arrows Collide.
On Point Wrestling returns for Relentless this Saturday, May 17th, 2014, from the Sports and More, 1855 Hearthville Road in Sewell, New Jersey. Doors open at 6:30, bell time is 7. All tickets are $20.
There was one place, and one place only to be this weekend. Come emotionally invest in the On Point experience.
That is right, Dan. Come emotionally invest in the On Point experience, and it happens this Saturday night, May 17th. Doors open at 6:30. Bell time is 7. All tickets are $20. First come, first serve. And we're going to get right into it. Dan, Texas Deathmatch. I am telling you, this is going to be something else. 347 days in the making, nearly 1 year. It's Low Life, Louis Ramos. As I said in that promotional spot, he is a hardcore icon taking on this generation's hardcore icon. It's a battle of the eras. Bulldozer Matt Tremont, Low Life, Louis Ramos. Where do you see it? Fans bring the weapons. I'm sorry. I had to get that in.
I was gonna mention that at one point. First of all, I think these guys do want to kill each other. Fans bring the weapons. God only knows. I can think of a few things I'd bring to hand these guys. One being a VCR, a couple other things that are heavy. I really think one of these guys are going to get they're going to get seriously hurt, if not both of them. And I'm going to give it to Tremont again.
Is there a winner or loser in this type of match?
There might be a winner of the match when the bell rings, but they are two losers as far as pain and kicking each other's butt.
Blood will flow, as the Mystery Men say, coming up
from the top
Saturday.
Of your head to the bottom of your...
Now, three-way dance. Xavier Cross, friend of the show, of course, with the Financial Miracle Loudy, taking on Caveman and newcomer Kefka the Quiet.
Well, I think Caveman might be unorthodox enough to be able to get one over on Xavier Cross. And I love Xavier, and I know I'm going to hear it about this, but I'm going to have to give it to the Caveman.
You know, Caveman did pick up the win 2 months ago in March over a very game Stan Styles.
Yeah, Stan Styles, I really thought, was just going to dominate this guy, and the Caveman was able to pull one out.
With the 5-stone splash, let's not forget that. Now,
5-stone splash.
Reed, by God, Bentley, he was involved in the match, possibly of On Point's history. He is taking on, picking up his first win at that last show, Oz Tyler.
Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to go with Oz. He's on a roll at this point, and I think he can get another victory.
Who knows, Dan? I'm telling you.
I was so happy to be able to see him.
The culmination of a year finally became a victorious one for young Oz Tyler.
And I think he takes that high he's on and floats right on into this event and takes another one.
Now, Trip Cassidy is taking on Pinky Sanchez. Dan, Pinky wasn't at the last show. This is Pinky's return. Of course, the last time we saw Pinky Sanchez was against Drew Blood.
True. This is a... I think I'm going to have to give it to Pinky. I think the guy's absolutely nuts.
He is nuts, that's for sure. If you can say one thing about Pinky Sanchez, the sexual spider monkey is very unpredictable, and that could be that could very well be his way to victory here.
Shoot, nuts!
Now Drew Blood is taking on, and Drew Blood will be accompanied to the ring with the Financial Miracle Loudy.
Yeah, Loudy.
He is taking on Josh Crane. Josh Crane, of course, one of the Mid-South guys, coming back again. Josh Crane and Oz Tyler, they had a great match last show at Throwdown.
Amazing.
So now it's time for Drew Blood. How do you see this one, Dan?
Again, another tough one. I would have to... Josh Crane, I never saw a live match of his before for obvious reasons, and it was, I would say, it was one of the matches of the evening. And Drew Blood, we all know what he's capable of, especially with Loudy at ringside as that second card that you pull out of a sleeve.
That's for sure. The wild card here is Loudy.
I would pick Drew Blood strictly because of Loudy. I think Loudy knows what he's doing. He knows his man well enough that if he sees him in a bind, Loudy will do what he can to help him out.
That is correct, Dan. Now, making their return to On Point Wrestling, the best around, that's TJ Cannon and Bruce Maxwell. They are taking on EYFBO, and that's Mike Drastic and the Funky Monkey Angel Ortiz. Now, Dan, both these guys have momentum coming in. Of course, EYFBO defeating highly entertaining wrestlers in March. The best around, of course, defeated highly entertaining wrestlers, and they defeated former CZW World Tag Team Champions, the Beaver Boys.
I think strictly on that, man, I don't know.
They're both undefeated as a tag team.
This is a really good card. you know what? Best around's easier to say. I'm going to give it to them. Strictly based on that, it's too close for me to go, well, I think the physical prowess of Bruce Maxwell is a little better than Angel. I'm going to give it to best around.
Too close to call, indeed.
Too close to call. Dead heat.
We spoke with the machine, Sam Shields, earlier tonight. He is taking on Joey Janela. This is for all the marbles. Whoever wins advances in this very prestigious OPW heavyweight title tournament match. They move on in that tournament, Dan. You want to talk about too close to call. Both these guys have momentum. Sam Shields said it best. He hasn't lost since the first show in January of 2013. Mm-hmm. Joey Janela hasn't suffered a loss. Last month, well, 2 months ago, defeating the Chainsaw Joe Gacy in a four-way.
Jeez.
Joey Janela, his only setback so far was, of course, the Bulldozer Matt Tremont.
Yeah.
Dan, where do you see this one? It's for all the marbles.
Well, after just talking to Sam, I would give it to him. He's fired up, and he can be. This has another possibility of being another match of the evening. There's not really a lackluster match on this card, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. This is history in the making. On Point's making a lot of strides, and I think this is only the beginning for this eventual champion of this company. I'm going to have to go with Shields.
I'm going with Joey Janela.
He's going to kill me.
One of the best matches I've seen in On Point history. It was a sleeper match, but I'm telling you what, Dan, I had the privilege to call this match. It was Joey Janela taking on Jaka. And I'll tell you what, I think Joey Janela, I think he's wily enough, and I really am impressed with Sam Shields, but I have to go with Joey Janela on this one.
I think Joey Janela, not only behind the scenes is he entertaining as hell, but he's one of the best performers out there right now. It's too close. I'm just gonna give Shields my pick.
It is too close to call. And if something else that has been causing a buzz on the independent scene, it's the Dirty Daddy Challenge.
Yeah.
His original opponent had to pull out. Now, Chris Dickinson, who is he going to face? The challenge is out there for all to answer. Some people are saying Biff Busick. Others are saying Drew Gulak. People want to know who it will be. Who will answer the Dirty Daddy Challenge?
Sting.
Probably not Dan.
Probably not Dan. Wouldn't know what to do with him.
Who will answer the Dirty Daddy Challenge, Dan?
Couldn't it just be somebody internally? Who knows? I don't know.
That's the buzz. That's what's going on for Point Wrestling.
In the indie world, it could be any one of like 300 people.
It really could.
Oh my! I have no idea.
Some are saying Scott Summers may come back. That's true. I've heard the rumors. Same Homicide may come back, Dan.
Whoa. Both of those would be pretty amazing.
Homicide, of course, hasn't been in On Point Wrestling since that inaugural show in January of 2013. Who knows, Dan? Some are saying Sanjay Dutt, another name from the past of On Point Wrestling.
Kazarian's available.
Amasis, even. A lot of names being thrown around, a lot of speculation. The Dirty Daddy Challenge, Dan.
We could make stuff up, right? Throw names out there?
That's what I've been doing for the past 5 minutes.
Right.
But anyway.
I heard it might have... No, never mind. Keep going.
I've heard rumors, Dan. My sources cannot confirm them quite yet.
I'm going to pull a Bobby Heenan and fake a phone call over the radio that everybody can see and try to get some sources.
That's right. Now, of course, this all takes place Saturday, May 17th, 2014. It's at Sports and More. That's 1855 Kirkville Road, Seoul, New Jersey. 08080. It's my favorite zip code in the entire world, Dan.
So doors, two numbers. It's not hard to remember.
Doors open at 6:30. Bell time is 7. All tickets are $20. Make sure you get there early to get the best seat possible. And it's going to be one hell of a show. It's
always an awesome show at On Point. And I can tell you by experience now, it really is always an awesome show.
We'll be right back after our newest commercial.
Hey, do you want in on the zoo that is HIAC Talk Radio? Then go to HIACTalkRadio.com. Every Monday night, if you're a hockey fan, obey the puck with Dan, Kelly, and Paul. Every other Tuesday, Moose Knuckle Radio with Gus and Adi. And once a month, HIAC After Midnight with Double D and MLJ. HIC Talk Radio with Dean, Dan, and Omega Squad Chris Green. It's wacky and crazy. HICTalkRadio.com.
Now, since things are so wacky and crazy, maybe we should bring it up. King Mo taking on Rampage Jackson. Does it matter? Is it pay-per-view?
It is pay-per-view. Why would someone pay for that?
I have no idea.
Well, you know, in fairness, it was supposed to be the co-main event. It's supposed to be Chandler Alvarez 3.
Oh, really?
But
okay.
Alvarez had to go, went out with a concussion, so. It's still on pay-per-view, but I can't see paying for Rampage and King Mo. I'm sorry. Neither guy is relevant in anything right now.
Not even TNA.
Yeah.
TNA is not even relevant.
TNA is not even relevant. Not even relevant to pro wrestling circles.
Huh?
So.
Now, Dan, I do want to bring up, I'm glad you're back.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to bring this up with both of you.
Sure.
Daniel Bryan, injured. Nobody knows the extent of it quite yet until the surgery is performed. Surgery will happen tomorrow. And what does this mean? What are the possibilities as far as Daniel Bryan... The dream could be over. Dan, you first.
Business side, story side, TV side, this couldn't have come at a worse time with the network taking off. finally win the title. I mean, all the stuff he's had to deal with personally. I mean, blow after blow, a man can only take so much. And he's still on fire. A lot of people thought, you know, I heard people saying he win the title and then his fire burns out. But I'm not getting that. I think he's still as popular as he ever was, and I think the title was just another bonus and a step in the right direction. And then this happens. I mean, you could be right. This could be it. If the injury is serious enough, that soon, it's all over. I don't even know where the company goes with this. I only hope for the best for him, and that it's not as serious as it could be, and that he gets the surgery, comes back, and he's back on TV.
Now, before Omega answers the question, I don't think it changes much. I think a lot of people, 3 months from now, he would have been upended by Brock Lesnar, most likely.
Yeah.
So I don't think it really changes that much. He seems in kind of a holding pattern with Kane right now. So
Well, at least we don't have to see how that plays out, because I wasn't getting it.
Well, what weren't you getting?
I don't get why. I mean, was it just to hold it until, as you say, Brock Lesnar was coming back? Was it just to elevate Kane again? It didn't appear like anything to me.
Well, it's not to elevate Kane. That's for certain. It's to give Daniel Bryan a credible opponent. Now, that could have been done. No, you laugh at Kane's accomplishments?
No, I don't laugh at Kane's accomplishments. I just... that what they've done to the character, I just wasn't buying it again.
Nearly 17 years with the same company?
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about what they did with the company. I mean, what they did with his character. I have no ill will or any lack of trust in what Kane can do on TV in the ring. I just think that character, they've made it so soft. That's just how I feel. That's just how I felt about it.
Well, they tried to bring it back when he attacked Daniel Bryan. Omega, your thoughts on this Daniel Bryan injury, what it means, or what it could lead to?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say what it's going to lead to. It depends on what, you know, the plans are for Lesnar. Immediately, I mean, I wonder if it's going to be... Well, let's talk about Daniel Bryan real quick. I mean, I will echo what Dan said, that, you know, it's unfortunate timing for Daniel Bryan that he had to take this serious injury. We hope he's certainly not injured to the point where he can't perform in the future. It's tragic. It's certainly one of those things. One of the things I thought about is if his career was cut short right now, would he make the Hall of Fame? And I don't know if he would. I've just been so very short at the top, short time at the top. You know, what it means, you know, for the short term for, you know, WWE, I think, well, it depends on how surgery goes on Thursday. If he's out for an extended period of time, then obviously they'll strip it. You know, what I think is you got two choices right now. Well, you got three choices. Real, you can maybe try to elevate the Shield or Evolution, one of those guys. Pick a guy in there to try to elevate and give him the title and let that main feud be the main feud. Happen to have the title included in it. The other is to go with the Brock Lesnar route, which I think is probably the better idea. And then the other option is to back the truck up to a certain house in Chicago.
I never thought of that. CM Punk,
and that might be the biggest mainstream pop.
I was going to say the best idea.
I don't know if it's the best idea, because I honestly don't know if that's the kind of message I want to be sending to my talent. At that point, CM Punk is bigger than the WWE in a lot of ways.
he is the Second City Savior, or Saint, or whatever, right? This could be... Look, frankly, I think he was going to come back anyway. I think the guy just needed some time off. He asked for an extended leave of absence. Now, granted, they've taken him off posters, but he's still on WWE Network programming. We know from the past, if they want to get rid of somebody, they do.
Yeah.
So, maybe it was too much trouble. I don't know. They already had all these shows in the can. But if they really wanted to get him off the network, he'd be off the network. I think he needed time off. He's been enjoying the NHL playoffs.
My man.
So let him have his time. And he was probably going to come back in the summer anyway, quite frankly. And then when he comes back, people, oh, I knew he was going to. It's all work. But
everybody's going to say, I knew it. I had faith.
He may come back after the Stanley Cup playoffs. Who knows? Are the Blackhawks out?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, well, sir.
Well, there you go. So once the Blackhawks are eliminated, maybe that's when you give him a call up and say, hey, Punk, can you come back?
I don't think that's happening. I think that's at least till June, my friend.
Well, there you go. But
the way things have happened today, I think it's
okay.
He's watching TV for a while.
Okay, there you go. Actually going to the arena. I don't need to know much more than that. We're not getting into a hockey discussion.
See, what happened was...
I'm not going to call Paul Baker right now, Dan.
Let's get him on... Oh, you don't want to call him right now.
Probably not.
No, you don't.
Anyway, moving on.
Hey, did you know...
It's not Monday night, Dan. Jesus.
Puck is frozen.
I don't have three walls of pucks in my house, Dan. Okay?
Hey!
Okay?
Be nice.
I don't have three walls of pucks.
Be nice. Be mean to me. Don't be mean to him.
I don't give a puck. You son of a... Now, anyway, moving on. This Daniel Bryan situation, I like Omega Squad's idea the best.
Yeah.
However, if they go that route, Brock Lesnar probably not going to be champion. So.
Oh, no.
I want to see Brock get another run, quite frankly. And
go ahead.
Well, I think it kind of, you give Brock the streak, and then whoever defeats that, and you have Heyman pounding that into your head that his client defeated the streak. There's a reason for that. So next year, whoever beats Brock, it's a big deal, and they become the champion. They ascend. This is all leading to the same place. That is... whoever they decide to give that spot, whether it's Roman Reigns most likely or someone else, it's going to be a big deal. Chris, your thoughts on that?
I have to agree with that. I mean, I think giving Lesnar the streak gives him instant credibility, gives him a near-mythic status now. It makes more sense to me to bring in Lesnar now to capitalize on that, let him grab the title.
Now...
Yeah.
If Brian's obviously...
Doing. If Brian's out, but, you know, I think it makes sense for him to go over now, either now or at SummerSlam, even over Brian if Brian's back. I think that makes... You need to capitalize on that right now. Let him... Make him the monster you want him to be.
Yeah.
And then choose who you want to elevate off of that. Is it Daniel Bryan? Is it Roman Reigns? Make whoever takes that strap back from Lesnar, even however short that time frame is, will now become enormously credible. You beat the guy that beat the streak, you know, that kind of thing. If it's me, I'm pulling the trigger on Lesnar over CM Punk.
Oh, I would too.
Oh, yeah.
Because the groundwork was already there. Dan, your thoughts as we wrap up the discussion with Daniel Bryan?
You know what? Honestly, I really agree with a lot of what Omega said, and a lot with what you said. I don't see any other way, and it would just make sense. And I really don't see another way to go, really. And even if Daniel Bryan can technically come back. Say it's not that bad, hopefully, and it's like 3 weeks, he'll be back. You don't want to really in my eyes, throw him back in the ring that quickly. You want him to kind of wrestle a little longer so it doesn't hurt himself. Or does he go right back? I don't know. But the Brock Lesnar way is the way to go. I agree.
Yeah, I think because the groundwork's there. It just makes the most sense. I have to agree with that. There's frankly no other way to go. And CM Punk, that's kind of a cop-out, quite frankly, if you go that route.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it?
I agree. It's a good idea.
I think it just highlights that you don't have anybody else to replace him.
Exactly. It's a great idea, but you kind of get that, oh, well, you know, see, I had to bring CM Punk back.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, personally, I think they can get on without him. I'd like to see him back. I like CM Punk. I
of
really
course.
Do. But I think they'd be fine without him.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
So far, so good. I think he was stressed. I think he needed some time off. He asked for it, and it was probably between him and Vince, more so than Triple H or anybody else. And you know, if he comes back, he comes back.
At that point, you just go to the boss. Hey, I need time off. Okay, Pally.
Yeah, I mean, they had a very close relationship. Remember that it was on MMA Fighting. .com, I believe.
Yeah,
the interview.
You'd call them at like 2:30 in the morning. Those two are the only ones up. 3, 4 a.m. calling, talking to each other.
Going over stuff, and they have a very close relationship. I don't think that it would disintegrate over the Royal Rumble or whatever his positioning was going into WrestleMania. I can't buy it.
I think Vince is just too old to get that angry over something stupid at this point.
Yeah, probably. A lot has happened to Vince McMahon in the past couple of years that I think he... grudges and that kind of thing just don't mean as much to him. But that said, we did have Sam Shields here tonight.
Great interview.
Not only that, On Point Wrestling returns for Relentless. It's coming up Saturday, and here's that promotional spot one last time.
This Saturday night at Sports & More in Seoul, New Jersey, On Point Wrestling returns. In the opening round of the On Point Championship Tournament, the Machine Sam Shields takes on the Zebra Prince, Joey Janela.
But I plan on doing the same thing I've done at every other On Point Wrestling show. Fight from beginning to end until my hand is raised.
You're half man, half machine, you say? I'm Joey Janela, and I don't give a who you are and what you are. What I am is the baddest son of a to ever step on the New Jersey independent wrestling scene, and On Point's the future, and so is Joey Janela.
In the main event, the match, 1 year in the making, lowlife Louis Ramos, a hardcore icon, takes on the next generation's hardcore icon, the Bulldozer Matt Tremont, in a Texas death match. It's a battle of hardcore eras. Tremont, Ramos, On Point Wrestling.
This weekend, we will test the physical limitations of the human body more than ever. Because you have to beat a man so senseless that he cannot answer the count of 10. Who will be the masked man standing when Relentless is all said and done? It's me and myself, and my life will not disappoint. The friendship, the respect, the mutual adoration for each other, we put on mute, and we turn the volume up on the violence.
And finally, I get the call that I've been waiting for 347 days, the call from the upcoming office. And they asked me, Tremont Ramos, ready to happen? Are you down? And I said yes, before they even finished asking the question. May 17th, 2014, I urge the people of Seoul, New Jersey, to not miss this match, because it'll be the most vital match you ever witnessed live. Pain, torture, agony, Texas death match, whatever you want to call it, it's going down. And it's finally going to answer the question of the chair that was asked. And that
Point Wrestling returns for Relentless this Saturday, May 17th, 2014, from the Sports and More, 1855 Hearthville Road in Sewell, New Jersey. Doors open at 6:30, bell time is 7. All tickets are $20.
There was one place, and one place only to be this weekend. Come emotionally invest in the On Point experience.
Don't forget, the Dirty Debbie Challenge is also part of that. Drew Blood taking on Josh Crane, Trip Cassidy, Pinky Sanchez, Reed By God, Bentley and Oz, Tyler, Xavier Cross, Caveman, and Kefka the Quiet. There's a lot going on. TJ Cannon, Bruce Maxwell, the best around, taking on EYFBO, Jurassic and Ortiz. A lot going on at On Point Wrestling, Dan.
No, it's always a good time, and it's always, like I say, one of the best shows of the weekend. And you need to get down there, and you need to get in this building on time and see the whole show. It's going to be great.
It's going to be one of those shows that you do not want to miss indeed. Now, Omega, where can the fine people find you?
They can follow me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
Follow me at DanLaw83 and Obey the Puck at Obey Puck Show.
And apparently at the airport as well.
Yes, at the airport as well. Flying by.
Indeed. Indeed. I am, of course, the D to Credibility Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can also follow the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio. And make sure you check out HIACTalkRadio.com. Make sure you get your movie tickets for Godzilla opening this week at HIAC Talk Radio. Just click on the Godzilla. You can get your ticket. You'll be taken right to the Godzilla page on Fandango. So make sure you do that. Also, check out our other affiliates, such as TFury.com. And if you have some medical issues, you can always check out STDCheck.com. That's the strangest affiliate. Beckett Media, if you want to get your cards priced and graded, you can always check them out as well. And check out MMAWarehouse.com. So many places you can shop, and you can help support the podcast as well. If you want to donate directly to the podcast, there is a PayPal donation right there. If you want to buy a bumper sticker, do that as well. And also check out the eBay for HIAC Talk Radio right there on the website as well. You can get a great podcast mixer and make your own show. Everybody wants to start a podcast. Now you have all the equipment necessary to start an A-plus podcast. But, Dan, a little less conversation. And next week, I'll tell you, we got a humdinger. We're going to be talking about UFC 173. A guest will be announced coming up. And who knows, maybe Andy Rooney will be back next week as well. But a little less conversation for right now, Dan.